You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Happy Father's Day. I want to give honor to my dad, who I love dearly and deeply. My dad who showed me the way. My dad who was a pastor before me and a missionary and taught me how to love Jesus, taught me what it meant to be a strong man and yet a tender man, to pay attention to the people that were around him and care for them, pay attention to me and my needs as a young, thick-headed, thick-skulled boy, and loved me through all of it. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to my dad there as you fish in Baja California in the beautiful surf today. It's a good day today. And we do want to leave each and every dad just feeling encouraged and inspired this morning. That is our job, as Chad said. Our job really is to honor fathers today, and to leave you feeling like, you know what, I've got hope for the future. I'm encouraged. I'm leaving with a sense of encouragement that God's going to keep working in me and through me. That even though we're not perfect, and last time I checked, no dads are perfect. No person is perfect. There's plenty of things that we've messed up in, and if we start thinking on the things that we messed up on, dads, we get pretty sad pretty fast. But in spite of all of that, God is working through us, and he's doing something greater than what we can do as dads on our own. It's not out of our own strength, but it's really out of a yielded heart to him that he's able to do great things. And so we just want to leave you encouraged today. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes actually about what Pastor Chad spoke about just a moment ago, the verse out of Judges that he felt like the Lord gave to him for men. And I just want to talk to dads in particular today about that. It's for all men, and really it's for all of us that are here this morning. You can take all these points that I'm really pointing at dads this morning, you can take it for your life because it applies to your life. So open up your Bible to Judges, if you would. Judges chapter 6. Thank you, Judges chapter 6. And as you're doing that, I want to say thank you to my wife for making me a dad four times over. My three boys and a girl who I love dearly and desperately. They're all teenagers now. They're starting to leave my house, praise the Lord. And they're starting to fly. But it is they are a joy. And they really do make a life for me truly meaningful and truly frustrating at the same time. You know, just trying to figure out how in the world am I supposed to do this? And being a dad is a challenge. Dads, right? Being a dad is a challenge. There's a lot of challenges there. And so I just want to remind you today that the Lord has given you a calling. He's given you a purpose. He's going to equip you to do those things. And he's calling you out of the cave, and he's calling you into the battle. As you came in the door, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, Chad, but as you came in the door there, and I want to make sure that every dad gets one of these, there are on the wall, and you might miss them, but they're on the wall hanging up these wristbands, and they're just black wristbands. And they say, from the cave to the battle, Judges 6, verse 12. And I want to make sure that every dad in the house gets one and put it on your wrist as a reminder of the things that we're going to talk about today, the calling that you have for your family, for your community, and the way that the Lord has called you. So I want to talk to you today about a dad's cave. We all like our man caves, a dad's commitment, and a dad's call. So look with me at Judges chapter 6, starting in We'll actually start in verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountains, clefts, caves, and strongholds, right? The enemy was so powerful that they fled to the mountains, they found safe places, they found caves. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and Gideon becomes this incredible figure who leads the people of Israel and is able to throw off the oppression of the Midianites, but in this point, he's in a wine press, he's hiding basically, doing some work, and the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." In verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Let me just very quickly, dads, talk to you about your man cave, your cave, your commitment, and your call. And this is that what we all have as we follow Christ. This is applicable, as I said, to every single one of us here today, dad or not. This is for us. Let's talk about the man cave for a second, a dad's cave. Every dad needs a cave. Every dad needs a place of protection, a place of quiet, a place to process, a place to decompress. You know, very oftentimes I'll come home, and I'm sure it's probably the same for you, and after a busy day at work, sometimes I have to deal with Chad all day, can you imagine? Pastor Chad, I'll come home, I'll need to decompress for a few minutes, right? And I'll go and I'll find a quiet place, and my home is often that place of safety, that cave that I have. And in Judges 6:2, as we just read, right, the Midianites were so oppressive, and we live in a culture and a world that's oppressive. We live with all kinds of challenges all the time. Every day is a challenge. We go through life, we have things happen, relationships happen, work happens, life happens, and it's very difficult and it's wearing, and we have to go then oftentimes and find a place of refuge. We find a place of quiet. And we like, as men, we like our man caves, right? Like we like to deck them out, we like to set them up, we like to decorate them, make sure they're right. And caves are good places to hide. They're good places for protection. They're good places for quiet. Sometimes it's nice just to close the door and to listen to the silence. But caves are also a good place of preparation, because at the end of the day, there comes a time to leave the cave. As much as we need the cave, as much as we need the quiet, the solace, the solitude, the place of decompression, the place of safety, we need those things. And we just want to say thank you to families, to wives that make our homes into beautiful places and beautiful caves for us to rest. And as much as we need that, there comes a time when we have to leave the cave. Because if we stay too long in the cave, then we become isolated, right? As much as we like the separation sometimes, if we stay there for too long, then we begin to become isolated from our family and from our friends and from the community. If we stay safe for too long, and as safe as caves are, they're wonderful places, but if we stay safe for too long, then at some point we become resistant to growth. We become unreachable, right? We become closed off because we're so about our own protection. And if we stay quiet for too long, and we need quiet, and quiet is good, and caves are good for quiet, but if we stay too quiet for too long, oftentimes all we can hear is ourselves and our own voices. And we really need to be able to hear the voices of the Lord and the voices of others, the voices of our family. It's so important for us to know that the cave is a wonderful place. It's a cave, is a wonderful place of protection, but it's ultimately a place of preparation for you and for me to go out, for you and for me to engage. And so we're called to come out of the cave. The Lord is always calling us out into another place, calling us out to engage with others, and He's calling us into relationship. And so let us find our caves as wonderful places, but also as places of launching, that we would go out and we would engage. And each of us have a commitment that we must make as dads. And I think we see that here, and I kind of even think about this section as we're talking about the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. And I think of the angel of the Lord as our Father God, right? And how our Father God has made a commitment to each one of us. And as we see these things, and I just see a couple of thoughts here about the commitment that He has to us, these are also commitments then that we echo as we walk as fathers in this world, that we echo it with our families. And every time that we imitate the Lord, we look a little bit more like Him, and we are more of a blessing for our family. So the very first thing that I think of when it says the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, He found Gideon in that wine press. He found him hiding and working in that wine press. I think, first of all, that a dad goes and finds you. One of the jobs that a dad has is to find his kids, to find his wife, to find his family, to find others. And a dad, the commitment that a dad has is a commitment that says, I'm not just going to wait for you to come to me. I'm actually going to go to where you're at. I thought of a story when I was a teenager, and my dad gave me, he probably didn't make me work for it probably, but I remember having a bunch of quarters, and I wanted to go down to me and Ed, so the pizza place, because they had a specific video game that was there. That was in the days when I didn't have a video game box in my house, right? So you had to go somewhere, and you had to pay money to play video games. So I got on my bike, and I rode my bike down to the corner to play this amazing video game that I can't even remember the name of it right now, but it was fascinating at that point. And I remember that my dad came to play games with me that day. He was doing something else. I never expected him to come. I made the journey down to the corner. I was going to play the video game, and he showed up because he wanted to hang with me. He wanted to spend some time with me. He was willing to go and to find me. And we know that our model is Jesus, and Jesus has come down from heaven, come down to earth to find us. He didn't have to leave heaven, but he wanted to because he desired to have a relationship with each one of us. And dads, one of the greatest honors that we have is the commitment to be willing to go and to reach out to where our kids are at, to reach out to where others are at, to actually go and find them, not just to wait for them to come to us, which I think sometimes we like to do. Come here. Right? I mean, that's a dad's prerogative at times. You come here. Right? I love that. And there's times and places for that. But very often, and particularly dads, as we have teenagers, we have grown-up kids, we have to go in and find them. We have to go to where they're at. We no longer can control where they're at anymore very often. And so we have to make the effort to go and find them. In my house, I'll have to go find my kids because now they're teenagers, they're playing video games, they're doing different things. And so I'll have to go look for them because they're no longer coming to hang out with me as much. And I have always to do the internal battle of fighting, am I just going to hang out here because I'm content on my couch. Right, I'm content with my remote. I've got what I need, but there are times what I really need to do is I need to go and find my kid. I really need to go and talk with my boys and check in with them and see how they're going. I'm going to go find out where my little girl is and what she's doing and connect with her because it's so important. It's so important for us to find our kids. What are they into? What are they interested in? My daughter, one of the things that she loves to do is to do her nails, and she's been doing them for years, and she's quite good at them, and I'm amazed how often she can do them. I mean, it just seems like, don't you do your nails once, and then they're good for a week or something? It's amazing she can do them all the time, and she does amazing, but she always wants me to look at them. Dad, look at my nails. You seen one pair of painted nails? You seen them all. It's kind of how I think, And I know that's not true. I know that's not true because she does. There's some amazing things. There's bedazzling and there's lines and there's colors and all this. And I have to. But I'm a dad, and the dads are oftentimes oblivious and self-centered, and we forget and we're into our own thing. And I'm reading something or I'm eating something or I'm doing something, and she says, "Dad, I want you to look at my nails." And I have to tell myself, "Look at her nails. Be interested. Be engaged. Go to where she's at. Understand what she's into. Remember, you got to go out of where you're at, and you have to go to where they're at. Because a dad's commitment is we're going to find our kids. We're going to find relationship. We're going to find our family. We're not going to leave them and just assume and just release. The second commitment is that a dad sees potential in you that oftentimes you don't see. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and he says to Gideon, "You're a mighty warrior." Now, Gideon is not a mighty warrior. Gideon is hiding, and he's threshing grain in a wine press because he's afraid that the Midianites are going to find him, and they're going to steal from him. He doesn't have a sword. It seems like he's just the opposite of a mighty warrior, and yet the angel of the Lord says to him, "You're a mighty warrior." Why? Because he can see in Gideon the potential that Gideon cannot see himself. He can see in Gideon with eyes of faith there is something that's there. God has made you in a certain way. He's called you with a calling. You're going to be the one that sets people free. You're intentionally going to move forward, but you can't see it, but I can see it. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to speak it into you. I'm going to tell you who you are, even though you might not even believe it. And one of the great honors, I think, that dads have is to be able to speak into their kids what their kids can't see yet. speaking to their kids with eyes of faith and eyes of possibility. Hey, have you ever noticed that you're good at this? No, you know what? I want to tell you, you might be failing today, but you're not a failure. You're actually a victor, and you're a winner, and you're going to make it. And we begin to speak into our kids what they can't see, the potential that they have because God has spoken it into them. He's given it into them. But many times, and isn't that true? Many times we can't see it in ourselves. The very gifts that we have, the very things that are valuable inside of us, we devalue. And for someone else to come to us and say, you know what, have you ever noticed, Andrew, you're actually quite good at that. Or you know what, Andrew, God has called you to this. There's power when we do that. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Paul reminds us that God has prepared amazing things for each one of our lives. And as dads, our great honor and responsibility, our great commitment is to speak into our kids that possibility, that belief, that expectation that, hey, you're going to go further. Don't give up. You've got this. God's with you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. You can move farther. You can move beyond. You're better than that. You don't have to give up right now because God has a plan for you. Thirdly, the third commitment that we have is that a dad calls you out. Oh, dads have a way of calling us out, right? The angel comes to Gideon and he finds him in the wine press and he says, I'm not going to leave you in the wine press. This is not where you're destined to be. You got to come out of the wine press. You're going to come into the purposes of God. Dads have a way of challenging their kids that's unique. And it's important for us to do. Now, of course, it's a double-edged sword. Oftentimes, we can challenge or over-challenge them, or we can move into the area of sometimes saying it too harshly, or they receive it, and so we have to be careful about doing that. But boy, we got to do it, guys. Because you know what? Our kids are going to live to someone's expectations. They're going to live to the culture's expectations, to their friends' expectations. They're going to live at a certain level until someone says to them, no, you don't. You're better than that. There's something more for you. You don't have to stay that way. I know you have failed, but this is not the end. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you to something better. Let's go, because you've got it inside of you. And a dad's commitment is to say, I'm going to keep calling my boys out. I'm going to keep calling my girl out. Tell them that God has a purpose for them, that he's going to take them further, that what they're seeing right now is not the end, that they don't have to put up with the thing that everybody else is putting up with because they're different, because they're called and they're chosen. Why? Because they are called by Jesus, and he's called people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, and he's going to equip them and give them everything that they need. And so, Dad, let's keep calling out our families and calling out our kids and calling them to good things. And then lastly, a dad's commitment is to fire up his kids. I mean, it kind of goes along with it, but there's nothing like a dad to get you fired up, right? When they do that bug eye thing at you, man. Get you fired up. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, this is what I remind you. I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. And a dad is able to say to his kids, hey, listen, let's go. Let's go. Don't forget the good thing that's inside of you. Don't forget the work that your mom and I have done with you. Don't forget what has been invested in you from your teachers and your coaches. Don't give up on the dream that God has placed in your heart. Don't just quit because it's difficult right now. Don't just give in because you failed and because you're upside down in so many different ways because you can't see the future. I'm just reminding you that there's something, there's a spark of life that's, and I'm going to fan it into flame and I'm going to get you fired up, because that is a holy purpose for dads to say to their kids, keep going, keep going. God's not finished. God's not finished with you. And then lastly, just a dad's call. What is our calling as dads? Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Very quickly, and I'm going to do it very quickly, guys, because I'm giving you a gift as Father's Day to get you out of here fast. I'm going to end early because God is good. I want you to know, every dad, you're sent. Every dad is sent. Every dad has a calling. There's not one dad in here that doesn't have a calling from the Lord, calling on your life. Sometimes we think calling is for somebody else. It's for some super Christians, for a pastor, some kind of spiritual word. No, you're called. You're called to your family. You're called to your community. You're called to your church. You're called to walk in the way that God has sent you and called you to walk in. And the angel says to Gideon, am I not sending you? Because I've got a job for you. And I'm the one that gives it to you. And I just want to tell you, the Lord is in the business of sending dads. He's in the business of calling dads. He's in the business of giving you something to do. You have a purpose and a destiny. And if you never make any money, and if you never become famous, but if you love your family and show them the way to the cross, then you're going to be just fine. Because the what we're called to do is not to become rich and famous. It's not to become successful in this world. It's not to become so by the standards of the way the world's made. That's not what we measure ourselves by. We measure ourselves by the calling that the Lord has called us to. We're called to love our kids, to love our spouses, to love our community, to show them the way, to show them how to ask for forgiveness, to show them how to give forgiveness, to show them how to receive grace, to show them how not to quit. And we just live in that calling. And if we live in that calling, we will understand that, boy, sometimes we're trying to live for something we don't need to live for. We need to live for that one purpose that God has given us. Secondly, every dad has a measure of strength. There's some strong dads in here. Whether you feel strong today or whether you feel weak today, I want to tell you, all of us, we have a measure of strength that God has given us. The angel says to Midian, go in the strength that you have. There is a measure of strength, just like a measure of faith that each one of us has. There's a gift that God has given you, an ability that God has given you to do and see the things that you can do and you can see. And you see them uniquely and you carry it uniquely the way that you have. And that's the gift that God has given you. And so you need to walk in that. You need to walk in what God has given you. But I want you to know this. That thirdly, every dad is called to do the impossible. And the strength that you have is not enough. The strength that God has given you, it's a great gift. It's something for you to walk in. It's the unique way that you're going to see your family and love on them and care for them. But at the end of the day, dads, we're called to do something that we can't do on our own. We're called to do something that is beyond our natural abilities, and it can only happen with God's help. We're called to do the impossible, to love a family well, to love our kids well. But you know what? It's not impossible with the Lord. It's not impossible if we keep leaning on His grace. It's not impossible if we keep relying on Him. The things that we don't understand, when we don't know what to say, when we don't know how to react, you know what? The Lord, every single time, will help us. And I just want to encourage you today, keep fighting, dads. Keep fighting. It's worth fighting. It's worth fighting for the hearts of your kids. It's worth fighting for the heart of your spouse. It's worth fighting for your true calling, the calling that you have as a man of God, not as the thing that the world is trying to tell you that it's about. It's about something that the Lord is doing in you. Nehemiah 4:14 says this. Nehemiah is looking at the wall, and it's a great work that they're doing together to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem that at this time had been torn down. And this is what he says to them. He says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Dads, we're called to a powerful, powerful calling to fight for our families, for our sons, and our daughters, our wives, and our homes. Let's do that. Remember, the Lord is on your side, and He's working with you, and He's calling you out, saying, yeah, okay, wherever you're at, maybe you're hiding in the wine press, maybe you're in the cave, maybe you've fallen down, maybe you stumbled, maybe you're strong today. Wherever you're at, come on. There's something more for you to do, and there's power that I have for you. So let's not give up. Let's not grow weary, and let's keep loving, loving well.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.